XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing the Lynn Hill condominium complex in Prince George's County, specifically in Temple Hills, and the problems that this condo complex has had, not just over the past week, but certainly over the past decade, if not for not longer. My guests are Maryland State Senator C. Anthony Muse and William Johnson Jr., a consumer protection attorney. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Barbara, calling from Laurel. Barbara, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
What I want to ask is there a agency or governmental agency that oversees this condominium association? I live in a condominium association where I feel like I'm in a dictatorship. They don't hold homeowners association meetings. The woman who pretty much elected herself says that she doesn't have to hold homeowners association meetings. We get nothing, no type of accounting that shows where our money went, how it went, and this has been going on for over 4 years. She arbitrarily, I've never missed a payment, okay, of my homeowners association, and this is not a renter's development. Most of the residents are owners. You know, there are some renters in there. I'd say about 25%, maybe a little bit more. But this is basically really an owner's property. And we're paying, but she has self-elected herself. And I think that someone should be able to look into it. How can you go for years, multiple years, without even having a homeowners association meeting?
Barbara, if I may, let's see if Senator Muse can at least try to address that. Senator?
Yes, we do have laws on the books that would require that persons would receive financial reports. Now, most persons are unaware of that, but there are laws on the books. The Consumer Protection Division of the General Attorney's Office will also be able to direct you and give you some help. When this is over, I'll give my number where you can also call. I've dealt with this legislation, but it's clear that we need to tighten up as well. But they're not able to take your money without giving you an accounting. They're supposed to provide those reports, and they're supposed to be election of officers done in the manner that is acceptable to the state of Maryland. If it's not being done, then these laws are just being violated, and no one is reporting it because they may not know that these laws exist. Exactly, and for the same reason, if I couldn't go back, when we talk about 10 years for a condo owner to not pay dues, there are laws on the books that automatically allow you one to foreclose after a certain amount of time on a person who's not paid their dues. That was somewhat violated over a period of time. It was used wrongly, but though it's on the books that. And my question would be, how can a condo owner in any management company go for 4, 5, and 10 years and not pay and still be allowed to exist in that building without selling the condo?
Mr. Johnson, do you have a suggestion for Barbara in a case like this? Because she is suggesting that she's not getting anything for her homeowners association fees, and that obviously there is some kind of clash going on here.
Yes, and first and foremost, all condo unit owners should look to the bylaws that have been submitted for the condominium itself. Within the bylaws, there are procedures as to how you can state your grievances with any actions performed by the condominium board. But you also have to remember that condominiums are a product, a creature of law, in a sense, in which they're created in the state of Maryland, for instance, through the Maryland Condominium Act. And that can be, you can actually get a copy of the Maryland Condominium Act offline off the Secretary of State's website. So you can, there are certain rules that are there that all condominiums must follow, but you also have your bylaws. So you follow to the letter the bylaws, and if you feel the need to go a step further, if you're not getting the type of relief that you're looking for, then definitely call the Secretary of State's office as well.
Okay, Barbara, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Omar, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Omar. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to say, I mean, I couldn't believe it when I heard the story, because I used to live in the same condo. That was my first condo that I bought. And in 2006, I don't know if everybody knows, the exact same thing happened. Okay, and the problem is that they switch management so many times that you don't even know who's in charge. And the problem is all the payment and all the utilities that you're supposed to pay is supposed to go directly for those services. So the question is, where did that money go? That's where you guys need to start off investigating. But this is not the first time it happened down there. Thank you.
Omar, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I just received another question, and this is a legal question. I'll ask, you know, both of you. Shouldn't the purchase of a condo disclose the bankruptcy of the building? And what kind of responsibility does the building management or building owners have to disclose that information?
Exactly. And to the point of the person who moved in 8 days before this happened and then told you have to move 3 days ahead of time. Yes, we do have disclosure laws. Yes, they're supposed to disclose what's the condition, not only of the building, but the financial condition as well. What I'm finding, and my office is finding out, we're getting more and more calls like the call we've just had of persons who either don't know their rights, haven't been given the booklet, haven't read the booklet, and therefore you have in some cases, maybe not in this case, I'm sure, but in some cases you have a rogue board out of control that's just shutting down information, collecting money, and people feel helpless. But they're not helpless. They're not helpless at all. They contact their representatives. They contact the Maryland State General Attorney's Office and find out and make the complaint, and then we can move forward with the remedies. This is happening too many times.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Judith calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Judith. What's on your mind?
Well, from Watergate, I have learned to follow the money trail.
Okay.
So I understand that there are legal ramifications that the lawyer may not be able to answer since he's representing people. The state senator, maybe you can help me out. And Harold's kind of fished around this. But if there are, if the utilities answer to a public service commission, then they have some kind of culpability to report this kind of debt before it got to this level. That's number one. Though they may feel it's humanitarian to leave the lights on up to $2 million in debt. You know, the victims are the people who are currently living there. So that, then the second thing is, if somebody is an absentee homeowner and they're continuing to collect rents, but they know they're not paying a homeowner's monthly fee for condo services and expenses, don't they have some kind of culpability about the asset that they own? And how can people be in a condo situation, having either rented a condo or bought a condo, and not get something from the state that tells them what their rights and responsibilities are?
Well, let's try to get those first two questions, because I think that is an excellent question, particularly as it relates to the Public Service Commission, which we did reach out to earlier today. They had no comment about this.
Correct. And I think if the attorney is able to, he may be able to give more information to this. But a part of it is because they were in bankruptcy. They had a trustee. Now, they're in bankruptcy, which means then that your debtors, at that point, you're not paying your debtors until after the bankruptcy, and then at that point, a plan is supposed to be worked out. I'm not exactly sure what happened here, but in terms of in any other case, the utility company should have alerted those who live in those condominiums, and that's what I'm going to put in legislation for. I'm going to put in legislation to make sure that when you get behind 1 or 2 months, that it's also up to the utility companies to alert those residents that you've got a problem that's coming up, so that they can go and address it with the with their management company. When it comes to the absentee landowner, a homeowner rather, it should be the same way. If you're not paying, then either you have to refund money or you lose your condominium. There have been persons who in various neighborhood and civic associations who've been foreclosed on because they had cars parked in their driveways that they shouldn't have had there. Now, surely if it's something like that, the law would provide for protection for that resident who is there under a contract, assuming that certain services are being provided. That's another area that I will look at, and I will, if the legislation isn't tight enough, I'll be presenting a whole lot of legislation
with homeowners. Mr. Johnson, pursuant to those earlier questions, what is your understanding moving forward as to the disposition of the Pepco situation, the WSSC situation that I mentioned? Because right now we're in a stopgap measure, and a lot of it really kind of depends on what a judge will say during the course of a hearing this week. But what would you hope will come out of that? Because the money is still at issue, is it not?
Yes, and the money remains at issue. And actually, the utility companies are really being held at bay right at this moment, only because of the notice issues that Senator Mew's office were very steadfast in letting everyone know that there was a lacking of notice. But even then, the utility companies are going to answer to the court with regard to what they call a show cause order. They have to show cause as to why notice had not been fulfilled. Pepco is of the mindset that they have fulfilled notice and will only just comply, which means that once the court gets to the point that it acknowledged that notice had occurred, then conceivably the utilities could be turned off again.
So I guess that's my question, and it goes back to what Judith is saying. You know, the figure that we've heard, $1.2 million, and correct me if I'm wrong, why didn't somebody say something? I guess that's just a basic question.
I'm baffled as you are on that one. And why is it that, again, the citizens did not know, or the residents did not know, till they had a 3-day notice? They really didn't know.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, well, actually, Lynn Hill has been in bankruptcy for quite some time, and not just the most recent bankruptcy. There's a total of 3 cases. And pursuant to bankruptcy and the automatic stay provisions, the debts basically became part of the bankruptcy estate and stayed there, where Lynn Hill would have paid along the way just to remain current and stay in bankruptcy. So it was more of a passing of the debt from one case to the next, and it accumulated. And that's an answer as to why this debt was languishing for all this time. But I do believe, and I agree with Senator Mews, that there should have been an alert, particularly in this situation, because you have a single meter. So each condo unit is not necessarily responsible for their own usage, mm-hmm. and the whole was actually paying for the bill. So they really don't get monthly notices of any type of bill that's outstanding.
I see. Judith, thank you so much for your insightful question. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Terry calling from Annapolis, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the Lynn Hill condo complex in Prince George's County, Maryland. Could this happen to you if you are renting? We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the Lynn Hill condo complex in Prince George's County, Maryland. My guests are Maryland State Senator C. Anthony Mews and William Johnson Jr., consumer protection attorney. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Terry calling from Annapolis. Thanks for calling. Whoops. There we go. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Harold. Hi, Channel. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So what's on your mind?
Yes, my question in this regard is on renter's insurance and how beneficial is that for a renter? What should we be, and if it is, what should we be looking out for? Because, you know, the insurance I do have, I know, like, in terms of fire or something like that, it's covered, but I never considered being kicked out.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, can you address that briefly, please?
Yes, I've found in my practice that renter's insurance is very policy specific. And if you read your policy and if it doesn't specifically state the type of termination of your lease and whether or not you'll be covered, odds are your insurance company will reject any claim submitted. So first turn to your policy. If it says, if it has a provision in there that allows for some sort of disruption of your tenancy, then you may very well need to call and make certain that this specific instance will be covered.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Terry, thank you so much. Senator, moving forward, you were talking about legislation that you would like to sponsor to address this. This, as I said earlier, is not a Lynn Hill condo issue. Since the mortgage crisis, we have seen homeowners that were renting their homes, renters paying homeowners, homeowners not paying mortgages, not paying homeowners association fees, not paying anything, having the homes foreclosed upon, and then the renters being out. Is the legislation that you want to put forward, would that just address condos, or would it be more comprehensive in dealing with this? Because, again, as I said, not a Lynn Hill situation, not even a Maryland situation. Correct. This is a national issue.
Absolutely, and it is. I think that we would have to, I'm going to be specific, first of all, relative to condos. And there is also another aspect that we've not looked at. A number of those condos have been, at Lynn Hill, have been foreclosed on. The bank owns them. So the question is, have these banks been paying the condo fees as well on those that they own? There are a number of them that have been foreclosed on. But I'm going to make it condo specific, but I will deal with renters in general, particularly relative to notification. There should not be any surprises. There should be total disclosure. It should be easy to get that disclosure. It should also be easy for a group of citizens in these associations to know whether or not their best interests are being dealt with. And they should be able to go through an easy process of change of officers. A lot of these places have had officers for 10, 15, and 20 years. In charge of a lot of money, and we have billions of dollars passing through management companies in the state of Maryland every year. So we have to tighten up on the legislation. This has brought some things to light, and yes, we will be.
Mr. Johnson, the hearing is scheduled for Wednesday or Thursday?
Actually, one is scheduled to occur tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon.
So what's going to happen tomorrow?
Well, the Office of Attorney General is participating. All of the utilities have signed on as friend of the court. And Judge Leo Green has been very interested in trying to reach some form of, or create some form of mediation to reach some common ground. I anticipate those issues to come up tomorrow.
So what does that mean when you say common ground? Because as I mentioned before, common ground notwithstanding, the money is still outstanding.
And that's just it. When I say common ground, my apologies. But it's still about obviously the money and whether or not a payment plan should be entered at this stage. Right now, this is, I would imagine, going on for almost 10 years. So at this stage for them to decide to terminate service, I guess this was the last straw for them. So this is an opportunity for Judge Green to put a little pressure on them to see if they'll come back to the table and figure out a payment plan.
Same thing for you, Senator. Yes. What would you like to see, you know, happen tomorrow?
Well, we're working with the state of Maryland. We'll be working with the housing, and we'll be working with a few housing department and a few other departments to do the following. One, to see what low-income loans would be available so that we can go into court possibly on Friday and say, here's a plan that we're presenting to you. There's some building code violations as well. We have a rehabilitation, housing rehabilitation fund that's available that we can go and look into. We have tax credits. We're looking at what other developers would be interested in and trying to invest in Lynn Hill. And we want to make sure that it's going to be affordable housing. We lack affordable housing in our county. I would hate to see all of them moved out. And then we come in with, you know, some housing that's beyond what anybody can pay. And so we've got a team of persons working together from the Attorney General's office, the governor's office, and our county offices. So that and what the county did when they went in with the social services and others, it's so appreciated how everyone came together to work together with various churches and agencies to help us to get through this. We have some good people at the table. We want to present a plan that will at least enable the judge to say on Friday, we'll grant you more time to pull this plan together, hopefully, and come back to us.
Well, with that said, it just seems that even with the police and fire and social services and everyone else coming together, as you say, even the community, the county did not seem to be wholly prepared for this. Was a crisis.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. 77 families. The county does not have the wherewithal to house 77 families, not 77 individuals, but 77
right.
families, more than 200 people from my understanding. So even as we move toward tomorrow's hearing, what happens to these people?
Again, it's our hopes that the courts will give us the time that we need to present a viable plan, having all of the parties at the table. We only know of some things that we can do. We'll be working tomorrow and day after tomorrow. We spent the last 3 days trying to make sure they had some gas and some electric and water and a roof over their heads, because a number of them actually had no place to go. And they actually stayed there through this. It was one of the coldest nights of the season thus far. They stayed there. It is our hopes. What we will not do is put 77 families out on the streets. That's what we will not do. That's what we'll be fighting against, and that's what we'll be fighting for. And with all of the partners at the table, we really can do this.
What are the possibilities that this building could, it was, if I'm understanding, it was an apartment complex at one time, now a condo complex, that it would revert back to that to make sure, as you said, that these people are not on the street?
That's right. And again, we're open to all of the suggestions, but we need a period to gather information. And while we're gathering the information, we want to make sure that the residents are held harmless. We want to make sure that they're paying their rent, even if we have to set up, and the courts may set up an escrow provision for them to pay into escrow with the receivership of making sure that at least the current bills are being paid. There are a number of options out here. We need the time to visit them, see what they are, and then sit back down at the table in 30, 60, 90 days and say, here's a plan for going forward. We can do that.
Mr. Johnson, your thoughts about a possible resolution even after tomorrow. What would be, if you had your druthers, what do you think would be the best solution to something like this, this massive problem?
I think given the current state with regard to the utility companies and their demands to be paid, there's going to be a needed need for cash infusion at this stage. If in fact, let's say for instance, Senator Muse's plan it doesn't bear enough fruit and make certain everybody's being paid, I would want at this stage to make certain that all of the tenants will have the opportunity to, in some form or fashion, realize the value of their investments. Deal with their mortgage companies to prevent any type of deficiency that may hamper them going forward, and just making certain that those that remain owners of the property or at that stage are compensated.
What are the possibilities? These are condos, individual units, Senator Muse. I would imagine that some of these places have federal loans. Would HUD be a possibility?
It certainly is. And again, we need the time to explore that. HUD, our own, from the, you know, any federal programs that are out there, this condominium may sit in a zone where tax credits to a developer would be very viable. If it's sitting in a business zone, art zone, there are many different zones. And we want to see exactly what's available for that place at that, and you know, at, located at that particular place. Look at what's available, and that's what we need the time to do.
Well, indeed, it looks like you know, that time is fastly approaching. When you will be in court tomorrow, we certainly will reach out to you and Mr. Johnson to find out what the resolution is. It looks like everyone has their work cut out for them. Let us hope that the residents are able to, as you said, be held as harmless, because certainly there is a lot of work to do. I want to thank Maryland State Senator C. Anthony Muse and, of course, Attorney William Johnson, Jr. Thank you both for sharing with us in this conversation, and we will certainly be in touch.
Thank you. Thanks for having
Thank
me.
You so very much.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, October 31st. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at Harold Fisher, WHUR, on Facebook, on Twitter at HFisherWHUR, or DailyDrumWHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.